When did an invitation become an obligation? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of the Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be looking at invitations. Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So today we're going to be talking about invitations, and we're going to go through a couple of very basics just to get us all on the same page. When I looked up the definition of the word invitation, it's pretty simple. A written or verbal request inviting someone to go somewhere or to do something. There is, with an invitation, it's a form of communication, which means there is somebody sending the invitation and somebody receiving the invitation. There is somebody making the request, and then there's somebody that needs to decide what to do with that request. Therefore, because there are two parties involved, we always have to look at this communication from both sides. Okay? The sender of the invitation has to decide who is going to get the invitation. And the receiver of the invitation has to decide to accept or to decline. So right there, without even knowing what we're being invited to or for, there are already potential landmines all around this thing. There's somebody that is sending the request. Most likely, unless you have done a little self-work and have a certain level of awareness, you may or may not have expectations around who will or won't accept these requests. And as the receiver of the information or the receiver of the invitation, you then have to play into, do I want to go? Do I feel obligated to go? So essentially what I'm saying is, invitations somewhere down the road for many people have turned into obligations. Obligations to accept when you can't or don't want to. Obligations to include when you don't want to. Right? So all of a sudden now, the idea of an invitation for many has become a landmine, like I said. And when I was meditating on this earlier, it was really interesting because this landmine started showing up in my life way back in the third grade. I went to a very small private school. I think we had a graduating class of 12, six boys and six girls, or five girls and seven boys. It was pretty half and half. And the expectation of the school, because we had such a small graduating class, or such a small class, and it's sort of like we stuck together. It was the same class for years and years and years. So I was in the same class with the same students for years and years and years. The expectation was that, and they kept it gender specific, so you didn't have to invite boys to your slumber party, right? But if one girl, if we're looking at just the girl camp right now, if one girl was invited, you had to invite all the girls. You weren't allowed to cherry pick in my school. If person A and person B were best friends and person A was inviting person B to their slumber party, then all of the girls had to be invited. It was all or nothing. And that was the expectation from second grade all the way through to eighth grade. And there were times when that worked, and there were times when that made it tricky. If all the girls were getting along and we were having a really great year together, then that was great, right? We would have done it anyway. But there were other years where maybe one or two of us were on the outs because we were not fitting in for some reason. And then we had to be invited or we had to invite them. And then it just made it awkward. What was cool about it, because some people would argue, oh, that was horrible of the school to make them invite everybody. And then other people would say, no, that was brilliant of the school to make them invite everybody. And what I would say is there was no right or wrong because both were opportunities to learn, right? So Trivial Pursuit, for those of you who remember Trivial Pursuit, the idea was to get every slice of pie in your circle. That's how you won, was you'd have to answer a correct history question. You'd have to answer a correct entertainment question. You wanted to get all slices of pie in your little circle, that's how you learn. Which means you have to experience a little bit of everything. You have to experience every slice of pie so that you can say, okay, I've won. I feel like it's similar. So when I look back on that and I say, well, it's not that the school did it wrong or the school did it right. It was the way that the school did it provided me an opportunity to learn something. Had the school done it differently, I would say the same thing. The school gave me an opportunity to learn something. So again, it's not a right way of parenting or a wrong way of parenting or a right way of schooling or a wrong way of schooling, because it's a piece of pie that I'm going to need in my trivial pursuit circle anyway. So I'm either going to learn it now or I'm going to learn it later, but it's going to happen. So what I feel like for a lot of times what happens when people either feel obligated to send out an invitation, just like third grade, well, we don't really get along, or we're kind of on the outs, or she's kind of into this and I'm kind of into that. This isn't really her crowd. This isn't really her thing. That you find yourself feeling obligated to invite because fill in the blank. Or the person who's receiving the invitation feels obligated to attend, even though maybe she's not really into it, for fill in the blank. And what I would say is, let's look at it as an opportunity to get our pink piece of pie in our circle, in our trivial pursuit circle. And don't look at it as a right way of doing things or a wrong way of doing things, but as an opportunity to experience. That's it. Okay? So if we can look at it a little bit more objectively, kind of click out a few clicks and just look at it and say, there's no right or wrong. There's only opportunities to experience and learn, then all of a sudden it feels way less personal. Way less personal. And let's face it, when it comes to invitations, when it gets personal is when it gets sticky. I will give you an example. So I am somebody who over the last, I'd say 7 or 8 years, and this has been an intention of mine to grow out of something. I used to be somebody who had the expectation that I would get invited to certain things, or I would have the expectation that somebody would always accept a request of mine. So, if I sent out an invitation, I expected certain people to say yes, whether, you know, even if it meant they had to move stuff around, even if it meant that they needed to figure it out because they should, right? Oh my gosh, that was not working for me. And anybody listening to this, I would say, I'll bet you, if you can relate to any part of this, it's not working for you either. To be fair, I've gotten really good at it in the last 7 years, but I probably started dabbling in it about 17 years ago, right around the wedding invitation time. So it has been something that I have been working on consistently. It's not something that came naturally to me because it didn't. My feelings would get hurt if I would get excluded. I would feel obligated to say yes to things that I really didn't want to say yes to. And most of the time, when I would force myself into a situation that didn't organically or naturally feel right to me, I was polluting. Like, so for instance, I'll give you a for instance. Somebody invites me to a party out of obligation, and I accept out of obligation, but I knew in my heart that they really didn't want to invite me, and I knew in my heart I really didn't want to go. If I went to the party, I felt like I was polluting the party. I felt like everybody was different but me. I was invited just because I was a longtime friend. I wasn't really having a very good time being there. They weren't really enjoying me being there. And I was maybe bitter at the party, or I wound up being a wallflower with my arms crossed in the corner or whatever. It just wasn't a good fit. So the lesson that I learned at 28, when I really started to pay attention to this before I met my husband and got married, was just because somebody invites me to a party does not immediately mean that I have to say yes, especially if I feel it's not, either I don't have the time, I don't have the money, or I don't have the desire. for whatever reason. Maybe I'm just tired. Maybe it has nothing to do with the person throwing the party. Maybe I'm just tired. Maybe I am exhausted. Maybe I'm working like a dog and I just want to take that Saturday and chill, right? Nothing personal at all, except I'm needing to say yes to myself. What I found was when I started really being aware of the invitations that I was being offered and the invitations that I was offering, and really started to look at the why. Why was I inviting this person? Or, as the receiver, why was I accepting or not accepting? I started to get really, really clear about a few things. First and foremost, taking a look at imagining myself at the party, who I am today, and who else is going to be there, and am I going to create harmony? Well, or will I create discord? So I'm keeping the party in mind, and will I enjoy it or will I not? Right? So, was I going to walk into that party and add value or be a pleasure to have at the party? Or was I going to walk into the party and crop dust it? Okay. Knowing that I am responsible for the energy that I show up with always. And then the second part, am I going to enjoy it? So I'm not just looking at my behalf. I'm also looking at the behalf of the party as a collective. When I started to do that, I started to realize, oh man, this is really, really interesting. And I started in those early years, maybe 20 years ago, like I said, I've gotten very good at it in the last 7 years, and I hope to continue to get even better at it in the next 7 years, and so on and so on. Am I aware of the dynamic of any party, the energy that I'm going to bring to it? Will the party appreciate it? And will I have a good time? I'm looking at both sides. I'm looking at it from the side of the party as a whole and myself in general. Okay, if we all could take a step back whenever we are sending an invitation or whenever we are receiving an invitation and just really be considerate about everybody involved, including ourselves, we might find ourselves making different choices. Now, jumping from the person that we used to be around this subject and starting to move into the person that we want to be around this subject is going to require a transitional period. Not everybody's going to understand it, and that's okay. We are going to do our best to be as kind with our words and clear with our intentions as possible. Some people that know the old you might struggle with this a little bit, but just be true to yourself and be kind and loving with your words so that you're not stepping on any toes during the transition. But what will happen eventually is you will morph into somebody new, because we all do that, and people are going to learn that this is the new part of you, and it won't be such a struggle. The transition won't be such a struggle. It might be for a little while for the people that know the old you, but once you step into this new you, all of a sudden, people are going to start to go, oh, well, that's just the way that she handles invitations. And it won't be personal on either side. So, I have been hosting Christmas Eve in my family for a very long time. My husband and I really enjoy it. I started hosting Christmas Eve after my transition. After this transition around invitations, I started hosting Christmas Eve, and I've always said, and I hope it's been clear, so if any of my family's listening and didn't know this before, I hope you know it now, I want you to come if you want to come. I have got a pretty large family, and for the most part, it's the same group of people that show up every year. Sometimes we'll have a new one, sometimes we'll have one drop off, but at the end of the day, the invitation is there, but I want every family member to know, I only want you to come if you want to come. If for whatever reason you don't want to come, you're not going to get a guilt trip from me, you're not going to get shunned from me, and I'm not going to stop inviting you. I have got a brother that lives out of town, and for him, traveling on Christmas Eve is a long drive with a ton of traffic, and he's got a kid. He's got two kids, one that lives with him. And I invite him every year, and he actually showed up 3 years ago, and he had a really nice time, and I continue to invite him to this day. There are other family members who, some people are really good on technology, and they are really good at responding, and some of my siblings, not so much. And I know this about them, and maybe they aren't the best at RSVPing. I'm going to invite them anyway, because my heart wants to do that. And I know this about them. Maybe they're not the best RSVPers. Okay, fine, no big deal. I want them to come if they want to come, and if they come, wonderful. And I'll usually know what my headcount is about a week ahead of time. And I usually know for the people who aren't great at RSVPing that is, you know, not their thing, and I'm not mad at them for it. And I also know that they most likely are not going to make it, but I'm going to invite them again next year, and it's totally fine. So I'm very, very, very liberal with my expectations around Christmas Eve. And it was really sweet. I've got a nephew about, I don't know, I think he's 28 now, maybe breaching 30. And he is normally one of the regular attenders for Christmas Eve. And he took me out to dinner for my birthday, which falls right before Christmas. And I said, "Hey, hon, are you coming to Christmas Eve?" And he says, "Auntie, I would love to come." And you can tell he was so nervous about telling me. But I was really thinking I just want to stay home and do my own Christmas Eve this year. And he was looking at me like he was, you know, hoping not to hurt my feelings. And I said, "Honey, if that is what you want to do, I want that for you. I don't want anybody to feel obligated to come to Christmas Eve. I want people to come because they want to come, period." And you saw the relief on his face, and he was like, "Oh, thank goodness. I was really afraid to hurt your feelings," and this and that and the other. And I said, "Honey, no. And forevermore, I need you to know, an invitation is a request, not an expectation, not an obligation. If you have nothing else to do on Christmas Eve and you would like to come, my doors are open. If you want to stay home in your pajamas with your honey and cuddle with your dog and order pizza, if that is what your heart wants to do, that is what I want for you. There is no expectation that you show up." And, you know, he said he had a wonderful Christmas Eve. Maybe he'll show up next year. Maybe he won't. But at the end of the day, the door's open. The invitation is there. My heart is open. And I have no expectation that he will show. I have no expectation that anybody will show. I want people to come to my house on Christmas Eve because there's really good food, hopefully lots of fun, hopefully lots of laughter, and that people like to come together in a beautiful space and share time and a meal with one another. That is my hope. That is my intention. If I start laying in obligations, I will start shifting the mood of Christmas Eve. If I start laying in obligations or having expectations, the vibe or the energy around Christmas Eve has just changed. And I like open and free. I like loving and harmony. I don't like the other. So for me, that is the way that I choose to manage not just Christmas Eve invitations, but all invitations. It was working so well for Christmas Eve, and I had really started to shift my thinking around it that I told myself and my husband and I have had conversations. I'm like, this just needs to be the way that invitations are, like, all over the world. Not just Christmas Eve, but everything. If you would like to come, I would like to know that I would love to have you. But if you can't make it, feel no obligation whatsoever to attend. Feel no expectations from me at all. That was a game changer for me. I just recently went to Tucson not too long ago, and with a few girlfriends of mine that might be listening to this podcast. And they had, we had originally said that we were going to drive. I had very specific reasons why I wanted to fly there and drive home, or maybe drive there and drive home, because I had some big pieces I wanted to get, and doing the whole suitcase luggage thing in the airport just wasn't going to fly. So we had gone back and forth. Do we drive there, drive home? Do we fly there, drive home? And eventually we worked out that we were going to fly there, rent a truck, and drive home. And I said, "That's what I want to do." And they said, "Yeah, that works for me. That sounds great." Okay, well then guess what? A couple of things shifted, and all of a sudden they were thinking, "God, that's a long drive, and I don't know if I can take that kind of time off of work, and I don't know about this, and I don't know about that, and I don't know." And they were thinking, and they had said to me, and I could tell it was old ways of thinking working behind their eyes. They were like trying really hard to not want to upset the apple cart, but they really didn't want to drive. They said, "Dawn, I don't know if I want to drive." "Well, what do you think if I give you a suitcase?" And I said, "Guys, if you don't want to drive home, don't drive home. If you want to fly there and fly home, fly there and fly home. There is no obligation for you to drive home with me. I have no expectation that that is what you guys should do just because that's what I want to do." And they were like, "Really? So we can all fly there and then you're gonna drive home by yourself? Will you be scared? Like, can you do it? I feel bad." And I said, No. You do what works for you. I'm going to do what works for me. And if in the course of everybody being honest with themselves, that means that you guys fly home and I drive home alone, then that's what we need to do. We need to own that. We need to get good at that. We need to practice that." And you could just see the relief on their face that we weren't trying to shove a square peg into a round hole, and that because we were all going on this Tucson trip together, that we needed to spend every second together, and that we needed to all fly or all drive. And they're like, No. Everybody needs to do what works for them." So, two of us flew down on Monday, one of us flew down on Tuesday. Two of us flew home on Wednesday, and I drove home alone. And it was perfect because everybody did what they needed to do for them, for their work schedule, for their budget, for their sanity, right? The idea for these girls maybe to drive home, it's like, that just sounds awful. Okay. And for me, not taking the opportunity to get some big pieces for the Zen room, that sounded awful. So everybody picked what they needed to do, and where it meant that we get to be together, then we were together, and where it meant we needed to break and split apart and then do our own thing, then that's what we did. And that has been the way that I've been managing my life for 7, 8, 9, 10, up to 20 years, started practicing 20 years ago. And you could see the relief on their face that everybody did what we needed to do. We all had the freedom to do what worked for us. So what I would like to offer in this podcast, what I would like to offer is, what if when you were either sending or expecting, or sorry, sending or receiving an invitation, that you tune into yourself, that you meditate, that you really get clear what works for us, what works for me as an individual, what works for the group, and look for what makes sense for everybody, having no expectations on anybody else. No expectations on what they want, no expectations that they will agree to any of it. Send the invitation and then let it be. Send out the request. "Hey, would you like to go to Tucson?" "No, thank you." And then let it be. "Hey, would you like to go to Tucson?" "Yes, but I don't want to drive." "Okay, then you fly and I'll drive." Send out the request without any obligation or any expectation. That is one way of that it's going to help, in my opinion. It helped me tremendously not take things personally. It's not that they didn't want to drive home with me, they just didn't want to drive. Or maybe they didn't want to drive home with me. And if that were the case, that's okay too. Maybe the idea of being stuck in a car with me for 12 hours sounded awful to somebody. And if that's the case, then they shouldn't do it at all. Like, if I love somebody enough for me to care about their wellness, their happiness, and their joy, then that might mean that it doesn't involve me. But if I love someone, I have to accept that. I am not everyone's cup of tea. That's okay. Not everyone is going to be my cup of tea. Or maybe they'll be my cup of tea for 2 hours and not 12 hours. Or maybe they'll be my cup of tea for an afternoon, but not a week. you want to find out what you can handle, travel with somebody. I am somebody that knows I'm a very sensitive person in my sleep. I dream a lot. My husband could tell you stories. Sharing a room with me in a hotel, I'm very clear that I'm difficult to be with because I talk in my sleep. Apparently, I speak different languages in my sleep. I laugh in my sleep. Sleep is a very interesting thing for me. I dream a lot, and therefore, I'm waking up, writing down my dreams. I'm getting a ton of information in my dreams. So I am a hard person to sleep with. So if somebody says, Dawn, I'd love to go to Tucson with you, but I need my own room, I would say, I get it. I'm also somebody who's very sensitive to sound. So sometimes I'm the person that says, yes, I want to go to Tucson with you, but I need my own room. So it's being able to say what you need to say with the most loving heart. And then where you guys do come together, oh, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so easy. It's going to be so effortless. So if we can take obligation out of the mix, meditate or get clear or align with what is it that works for me, and start really being honest with our boundaries. Now, the thing to remember, if we are giving ourselves permission to be honest with our boundaries, then that means we need to give others permission to be honest with their boundaries, right? So if that means that we get left off of an invitation list, we have to be okay with that. If that means that somebody decided not to invite us because maybe for whatever reason they just feel as though it would be an awkward fit and that is their boundary, we need to accept that boundary. We need to be so appreciative that they are understanding boundaries that they are starting to exercise them, even if it means excluding us. It goes back to that, if you haven't listened to my podcast on attachment versus connection, you might want to listen to that because a lot of that plays into this conversation as well. Don't stay with me because you need me. Stay with me because you love me. I love you enough to set you free, which means if I truly love you and you are exercising your boundaries and your boundaries mean that I am excluded from one of your invitations or one of your parties, I love you enough and respect you enough to applaud you for making that choice, as difficult as it might have been, and not take it personally. You are doing what you need to do. Maybe I am a sober person. I am a sober person. I don't drink. I mean, every once in a while I might have a sip of something, but for the most part, I don't drink. And if you are having a rip-roaring beer bash where people are going to get liquored up, you're probably thinking, Dawn would have a horrible time. And I might be embarrassed at how I might behave. I don't even want her to see that side of me. I'm just not going to invite her. Okay, that's fine. I totally get it. And if I did receive the invitation because you felt obligated to invite me and I knew that it was going to be a drunken bash, I might opt out anyway. So when it comes to invitations, again, whether you are the sender of the invitation or the receiver of the invitation, if you can look past the expectation, I was reading in an article, it turns out that as many as 70% of people say they've experienced a form of social exclusion within the last 6 months, according to Psychology Today. Again, according to Psychology Today, as many as 70% of people say they've experienced a form of social exclusion within the last 6 months. We've all had to experience being left off the guest list, and we've all had to experience trying to put together an invitation list that feels right to us, knowing that we were going to be leaving people off of that list. But what if we were to say, we all have the right to do that. We all have the right to accept the invitation that we want or decline the invitation that doesn't work for us. And we all have the right to either invite or not invite somebody without it being personal. Maybe it's just you want to keep your beer drinking friends together and your church going friends together and not mix those two worlds. Maybe it's because there's a little bit of friction, spoken or unspoken, that you just feel like, you know what, I just don't want to invite that into this mix of people. Maybe it's money related. Maybe it is time related. For all the reasons that it might be why you might exclude or have to say no to an invitation, what if you were to just say, that's okay. They have the right to invite who they want. I have the right to accept or decline. And why can't that just be enough? Maybe I'm just not in the mood. Maybe it has nothing to do with the people at the party. Maybe I'm just exhausted. If we could be as okay saying no as we are saying yes, this wouldn't even be a conversation. It wouldn't even be a thing. For most people, it's going to be a work in progress. For most people, going from feeling obligated to say yes or obligated to invite when our heart really doesn't want to, you have to start small. And you have to do it consistently. And it's going to be a transition. And during the transition period, like I said, your peeps aren't going to necessarily understand what's happening. But eventually you will transition, after you practice it enough, into a new way of thinking about invitations. And you will start to say, that's just the way she is now. She has changed. I actually wrote, I read a blog where somebody has decided at the end of every invitation that they put this hashtag, I-N-O, hashtag invitation, not obligation. As a reminder, it's an invitation, you don't have to come. I think it's sort of a clever thing to do. If you knew that if you knew that you could just do what felt right to you at the time without any explanation as to why, and you didn't have to worry about hurting anyone's feelings, how free would that feel? I think it would be incredibly liberating. I think it would be amazing, in fact. So my request to all of you as you are listening is, maybe start being a little easier with your expectations around invitations, and therefore give other people that same latitude. If we want it for ourselves, then we need to want it for others. And then I suspect as we all get better around this subject, what we will find is less hurt feelings in general. Less hurt feelings in general. That is my wish for everybody. Okay? So that being said, I would like to thank you all for tuning into this episode around invitation, not obligation. And I would like to maybe offer that you all start practicing this a little bit more in your life. All right, everyone. May the force be with you. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll be chatting with you soon. Take care now.